is such a good song. Oh, Beyonce. All right, welcome back to the show. It's The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn. Bradley has a story to tell. It's about a rich lady, and she's pitching a fit.
This is quite possibly my favorite story of the week, and it's only Monday. That'll
probably
change. Let
me get my tea and my teacup, and let's spill some tea.
Yeah, so I was telling you this story a little bit off the air before the show today to kind of set this up. So, listeners, maybe you've heard the story of Kathy Cargill and how she finally revealed her plan for her real estate venture up in Duluth. Mike, had you heard this story at all by chance?
Not at all.
Oh, gosh.
Do you even know what a Kathy Cargill is?
Nope.
So she is a member of the billionaire Cargill family.
Oh, okay.
And she had been buying up some properties up north in and around a specific place called Park Point in Duluth. Okay. Now, I kind of had seen this story out of the corner of my eye, like, Kathy Cargill isn't telling people what she's doing up there, buying all these properties. And she would buy them, and the way people describe it, like, pretty quickly or soon thereafter, she would like take the house down. She would like buy the house or buy the property, take the house down. And slowly but surely, she was like amassing these properties. Now, you can imagine that the people that live in that neighborhood are like, what's going on? And like she was buying them for like, you know, she was offering people like more than their houses were probably worth, it seems.
Yeah.
Like one guy, his house, he would have probably been able to sell it for about 500, or he was planning, he said, like he was going to sell it for like $500,000.
Okay.
She offered him 800,000. And so he was like, we slept on it one night, woke up the next morning, oh, we're like, we're never getting this money. Take it and run.
I thought you meant they slept on it together.
Okay.
The story is she's offering a lot. 300,000 like, more and a free romp in the hay.
No, this has nothing to do with lewd behavior. Oh, although I don't know what Kathy Cargill gets up to on her off time. But something tells me this is not the case for Ms. Cargill, because okay, she sounds like a real
treat.
Because even the mayor was like, I got all these residents who are like, Kathy, what are you doing? Could you please? So he sends her a letter like, could you just tell us what you're thinking about? Like any plans?
What are you going to do with all of these properties?
Right. And so she finally tells all, and she tells all to the Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. And I read this article, and now I got to like log in to the Wall Street Journal because...
No. Well, just, you can sum it up, right?
Yeah. It's a great story. We'll put a link up on the show links page. Essentially, she got up to them and she's like, well, I was going to do all these amazing things, but these people are really annoying, so bye! She essentially said, like, because people were so critical of the purchases that she made, that she was just going to like... not do anything. In fact, here's what she said.
Oh, God.
Quote, and she was speaking specifically about the mayor. Quote, I think an expression we all know, don't pee in your Cheerios. Well, he, the mayor, kind of peed in his Cheerios right there. And definitely, I'm not going to do anything to benefit that community.
Whoa.
They're like, ma'am, what are you planning on doing? I was. And she talked about how she was going to like build a pickleball court and a sports center and update the property and make it real cute for everyone. But now, because here's what she said, the good plans I have down there for beautifying, update and fixing up Park Point or putting up sports court, forget it. There's another community out there that's more welcoming people than this small-minded community.
Whoa. Ooh. Oh my goodness. And
why is she so salty?
She is sassy. Why? Sassy pants.
Just because people ask questions.
Yeah, they just want to know what you're doing with their very small town and this place that everybody. I'm looking at the Park Point experience on Duluth.com.
Okay.
They have a beach.
Yeah, no, it sounds beautiful. And
that looks like a real beach. I want to go there when it's hot.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been up to
Duluth? I have been up there, but I've never been to a beach.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of beachfront property. I mean, it's, you know, it's Lake Superior. But still, you're absolutely right. It's beautiful, especially in the summertime. And she, through her LLC, has bought up more than 20 parcels of land on Lake Superior.
A parcel of sand. Okay.
About half of the single family houses sold were purchased by her last year. The median price, they sold for about 400 and some thousand, obviously. But my favorite thing about this story is they go, but not everybody's unhappy about Kathy's moves. Okay. And then they introduce Bob or whatever his name is, who sold to her for $800,000. I was like, well, of course he's happy.
Yeah, clearly.
he got more than he needed.
Yes, he did.
Anyway, she did say those people aren't going to run her out. They can posture themselves all they want, but I ain't going anywhere.
Well, so, okay, so she said, I'll just leave that stupid community, but she's staying.
But she just literally sounds like an angry person on the front lawn shaking their fist at the sky.
With a lot of money. She's a billionaire.
With a crap ton, yeah.
Oh, I got to meet this person.
Also, I don't think it's beyond the... Because I tried to understand, like... Were these people, because, you know, sometimes, let's be clear, sometimes communities can get real animated about things. You know,
true.
Like, hey, you guys, really? Mm-hmm. But this is totally understandable. Imagine, like, you move into a neighborhood and then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, houses are going up for sale and then being demolished. And so it's changing your taxes, probably. Like,
yeah.
I would assume that if the property values go way up,
zoning
that's great.
Laws,
but
like, you have to have parking for these facilities. Like, it
changes
things.
You have questions, right?
And you have to get permission, ma'am. I don't know. Ms.
Well, yeah.
Cargill, I hope you're... I mean, she's not even wanting to play nice and be like, oh, yeah, it's really strange that she would buy the properties first until she had approval from, like, the city to do some other type of a community center.
Yeah. Well, and like, even before you get to all the things she actually wanted to do, they were just saying,
hey. Hello.
What's going on over there?
It's fine if they ask.
It's not even like she was saying, you need to approve everything and I want to build a spaceship on my property. They were just like, we're curious. And she was like, get out of here.
Like,
I ain't doing nothing.
Well. And then she used pee in the Cheerios wrong.
Oh, also, yeah.
It's
Can we
like,
back up to that?
It should be like, he peed in my Cheerios.
Yeah, people, because you say, I think the phrase is, who peed in your Cheerios this morning, right?
Yeah.
And her actual quote was, don't pee in your Cheerios. Well, he kind of peed in his Cheerios. You don't pee in your own Cheerios, do you?
No, that's a wrong use of the expression.
Well, I guess when you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
Does Cargill make Cheerios? I feel like...
No, they make grain. I've seen it before in like feed stores. It's like a grain farming type of a company.
Well, it's a multinational conglomerate that produces and manufactures and is responsible for transporting all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Their Wikipedia page was quite interesting.
Yeah, it's like China and Africa and Indonesia. It's just like, whoa, Cargill. Not Cargill. Is it Cargill?
Cargill. Yeah.
And then there's Cargill.
Listener Sherry said there's a great story on Racket about this, quote, clueless, terrible woman.
Oh, well,
wow.
I wouldn't go that far.
She
just sounds like, I don't know, I want to be her assistant for a day.
Yeah. She does own a fleet of McLaren vehicles.
Oh, my.
Fleet. Which, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with being rich.
No, there isn't.
But, in fact, Kathy, you're welcome to come on the show and tell us all about your...
Can I just follow you for a day?
McLarens.
And write up an investigative report.
This story just brought me delight. I feel bad for the people involved, right? Like, I mean, this is actual people's neighborhood and stuff going on. But when I read this story that she just like phoned up the Wall Street Journal, she did also at one point in another story, and this was in the Wall Street Journal piece, they asked her about the homes and she's like, well, nobody liked them anyway. They were ugly or something to that effect.
God.
And she was like, so she kind of walked those comments back later, but it just came across really... Really?
Like, she has nobody checking her on a daily basis. With
let's
like,
be clear, does she?
She doesn't care about...
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care about how she words things. No one's saying, Kathy, you can't say it that way. Because
like,
she'll
yes, I can.
She'll go, why?
How much?
On her sunglasses and get in her McLaren and just zoom off.
One of the 30. All right. I just wanted to share that story. It's in the Star Tribune. There's also a Wall Street Journal piece if you're really excited to go down. And we'll put the Racket one up, too, because I'm now going to be reading that. Thanks to the listener. When we come back, Dawn is going to keep real estate in our mouth because she found an Italian town that's literally selling homes for €1. Are we moving to Italy?
Well, we might need a little more money after I found out the details.
All right, great. Well, tell us about it when we come back.
107.1.
Hey, everybody. It's Dawn McClain for Livia Weight Control Centers. They want you to choose you and get healthy the Livia way. And when you join Livia, you will get a personalized and doctor-recommended program tailored to your unique needs, goals, and lifestyle. It's so easy. You go in and they set you up with a program that's all about you. I did the Livia program and it was just great for me. It was easy. It really works. And it's actually kind of fun. Once you start losing the weight and you see how easy it is with the Livia way, it's actually, you feel so good about yourself and it's just awesome. So right now you can get your first 3 months free if you mention me. Go to Livia.com. That's Livea.com or you can call 855-GO-LIVIA. And they are offering breakthrough weight loss medication options. So visit Livia.com or call 855-GO-LIVIA. It's time to choose you. 3 months free if you mention me. Thanks for joining us. Happy Monday. It's the Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1. Well, we're going from one village to another. We're talking about a place in Italy now that has the Italian dream. It has a bunch of homes that are abandoned, and this is a 3,000 year old town in Italy called Patricia. And it's
hey Patricia.
They want people to come and buy houses here, so much so that they're a lot of the empty homes are up for sale for €1 or just over a dollar. And they haven't had a lot of success selling these homes. Now, a few people have moved in, and you're probably wondering, well, what happened?
What happened, Dawn? I've been wondering.
Yeah, this 3,000-year-old town, you know, it's been going for that long. Can't we keep it going? Well, local authorities and towns left unpopulated due to earthquakes and other natural calamities. They have the jurisdiction to put up abandoned homes for sale without permission from the owners. Okay, so that is a thing that happens in Italy. You got to think, this is a different country. They have different rules. So that's exactly what the mayor of Patricia was trying to do. They don't have as lenient of laws there. So what they're trying to do is track down owners of these properties, and it's been difficult for them. Like, hey, you have this home here that nobody's lived in for 70 years. Are you going to sell it?
Oh, so these are owned by like families and they're in other countries and people aren't paying attention and kids don't care and nobody has the money to invest in them. So there's just probably abandoned properties, essentially.
That is exactly what's happening. But the mayor wants to bring life back into the town. You know, there are people that have bought the home, some Americans that have moved in, turned them into an Airbnb. It sounds idyllic, but then when you think of your dream of living in a small Italian town would involve being around Italians.
Oh, is that, you know? What do you mean?
I mean, if it's like, all God Americans forbid. And you're just in a beautiful place, you're like, I'm not really experiencing the dream lifestyle of living in a small Italian town.
Italians, but it's all people from Cincinnati who were like, I gotta change my life and do something different.
Yeah.
That would still be kind of fun though. I bet there are successful experiences of, you know, people moving in from all different parts of the world to you know, to a nice little bucolic village somewhere in Italy, and then they revitalize the community and some old lady who lived on a hill comes down and is like, you kids have done amazing work.
This is the movie version, yes. If it worked
out,
okay.
I'm going to make spaghetti for all of you.
So the problem is that, you know, these relatives, they have like multiple heirs. And they each one owns a different section of the home. Like one person might own the bathroom.
What?
The other person has the balcony. One person has the kitchen. Another one might have a patch of land with a well on it.
Well, that seems problematic.
Right. So they can't, most of
you own the house, just not the bathroom, because Giuseppe, he owns the toilet.
I know, your second cousin owns the toilet, and he doesn't want to sell. That's literally what's happening. So much infighting between owners that it's just like so many are just in a deadlock. But, you know, they don't have the right in this town to just sell off these properties without the permission of the owners. So that does happen in other cities, but not this one for some reason. So, you know, they're trying to recruit people to come live here.
I'm not surprised. I actually think Italy in particular would be an amazing place to move because I feel like the language is not that too hard to learn, right? Like,
yeah.
Italian is probably one of the easier Romance languages to learn, and it's Italy.
Yeah.
Food.
Yeah.
Know,
I mean,
scenery,
it's very tempting.
The people.
Here's the problem.
Okay.
Most of these homes that are for sale for €1, they have, like, one family came back to check on their home to see what state it was in. You're like, oh, we own this property. You know, some far off relative in the U.S. It would cost like $500,000 to redo it because the roof had caved in and there were bushes growing in the second floor and other creatures. And just to structurally get these homes back in shape, you're going to pay way more than €1. It would be like a real property investment.
But there have got to be people that are like, I'm in it. Let's do it.
Right. And there have been some that have moved into the other properties. Like there's a coffee shop and like there's a few things here and there, but it's sort of like empty, beautiful streets.
Somebody needs to start a YouTube channel, right, for this town. And then you can watch them rebuild it slowly but surely.
Why don't we get HGTV to do it?
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't actually done a series like that. Like they take over a small town.
Oh, the cobblestone street. I mean, it's 3,000
years
old.
It does look beautiful. Dawn, thank you for taking us on a journey through Italy. When we come back, I'm going to take you on a journey through the worst of tabloids.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, Kate Middleton made some shocking news on Friday, and the tabloids have some things to say about it. I'll tell you when we come back right here on My Talk 107.1.
Entertainment.
Hey, My Talkers. Bradley here for my good friends at Dakota Dental. I want to give a great big shout out to the team at Dakota Dental who made Saturday an amazing polar plunge experience. I mean, it was cold, but it was a lot of fun. And gosh, there were so many people there. We hopped on a shuttle, headed out to Crystal Lake, ran into the cold water, ran back out, and they raised a lot of money in the process. So kudos to the team at Dakota Dental for organizing that event and being a part of that fundraising event. That just shows you the level of commitment Dakota Dental's team has for being a part of their community. That's one of the many reasons that set them apart. I want you to make sure if you're looking for a dentist that you make your appointment at Dakota Dental. They're a wonderful family dentist. They really will go the mile for your dental health and the community they're in. Head to DakotaDental.com today. And don't forget to tell them Bradley sent you.
The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, My Talk 107.1. This is your place for entertainment, for royal news especially. There was some big news last week where Kate made an appearance on the official socials of Kensington Palace.
Finally.
Saying, I am okay, but this is what was going on with me. I had abdominal surgery. And then we found cancer. Now, I am slightly laughing because Bradley just showed me
I just had a cracked egg. A party foul. In the break, I was cracking my hard-boiled egg before we got into this segment. It's wet. My hard-boiled egg is not cooked. I don't understand how that's possible because I overcooked them yesterday.
Well, maybe it's just the water that's in that little dimple dent.
No, it was goopy.
Goopy.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to take us off track of a very important and serious story.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you explained your laughs. People are like, why is she laughing at Kate Middleton?
Yeah, I'm not laughing about cancer, just to be clear.
No, of course not.
Okay.
But I do want to catch us up because that was shocking news. Like, finally, after all this speculation, and I don't think we've sat with or deconstructed or armchair quarterbacked appropriately this news. In fact, when did we learn?
Friday.
It was like right at the end of our show on Friday, right? Second hour?
It was second hour.
So we haven't really had a chance to sort of fully breathe air into it. But in the meantime, the tabloids all weekend long, of course, have been breathing air into the story. And I had a couple updates for you, which included, but were not limited to, we did get an actual follow-up announcement from the two of them, that is Prince William and Prince Kate, through their Kensington Palace spokespeople. Quote,
yes.
The prince and princess are both enormously touched by the kind messages from people here in the UK, across the Commonwealth, and around the world in response to Her Royal Highness's message. They are extremely moved by the public's warmth and support and are grateful for the understanding of their request for privacy at this time. So we did get that follow up. And I still go back to, I think this was the biggest PR mistake of the year. Like, if there is an award for PR, like, I bet PR firms everywhere, like, at their annual meetings are going to be like, let's discuss this, don't.
Right.
And then they're going to tell the tale of the Kate Middleton cancer diagnosis announcement that came out months late in a ham-handed way. Well, I shouldn't say the announcement was ham-handed, but the way it took forever, the mechanics of it seemed absolutely ludicrous to me. Yeah. And I heard, you know, a PR person say this on social media. I apologize for not having the name in front of me, but she basically was like, if you're trying to blame the public for having questions about something, that's because you haven't given the right answers.
You haven't set them up, you know, for it was so ambiguous, and we don't have the right to know everything that's going on with her body for sure, but it's just the way it was presented was not the best.
Well, and it wasn't present. I mean, again, this PR person's point was, if your response is to shame people for asking questions, you've failed. It's not the failure of people, because we are always going to do those things. You know, like how people did there was this quick move, and you actually saw, like, Blake Lively, did you not? Like she had made a joke about being that she had disappeared or something and made a joke sort of at the expense of this whole thing.
She did a really crudely Photoshop job of her holding on to her non-alcoholic like beverage and sitting in front of the pool. And it was like very obviously Photoshopped, and she made fun of Kate
she was
for
making
her terrible
Photoshop
ability.
And so she apologized for that. And you did see people sort of like immediately go, oh, I feel bad, I'm horrible. And I just wanted to say, you know, I get it. Sure. Don't post things that you don't feel comfortable posting ever. But I think that people joining in on the like what's going on here, I think was just that's natural. I don't think there's anything particularly unusual or any more hateful or unusual than the world usually is.
Yeah.
I think it really is just that the palace kind of flubbed this announcement. And I get that things change, and maybe this was not their first, like you could just tell that they made a mistake. And I think it's okay for them to just be like, I feel like they could have just said, you know, we didn't know everything in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now we do. Here's what we know. We're not going to be answering a lot of questions. I hope you're fine with that. And then you see the response that people would give, which is the response they gave on Friday. Once she says, I am dealing with something very difficult, the whole world is like, oh my God, I hope everything's okay. You didn't see people run out and be like, I mean, let's be clear, there were still people on Twitter that are trying to say that it was like a artificial intelligence video.
They need to get a life.
But like they were always going.
AI video?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they showed like the background, how nothing moves in the background.
Oh,
girl,
God.
It's a rabbit hole. But my point is they were always going to be there.
Yeah.
The majority of people, like your sister having an opinion about this story, shows the length. I'm just saying the average person having an opinion about this story shows the lengths to which they kind of failed the moment.
That would be correct. I think in between they had this plan, because the way she tells the tale is that she did go in for a routine or a planned abdominal surgery, whatever that was. And they thought it wasn't cancerous. And then they did discover cancer. So they're like, oh, no big deal. We just need to, like, maybe if it's an ovarian cyst or something.
Sure.
I'm throwing that out there because it is a common thing that women get. And so then they went in and then they found cancer. So I think the point where, like, everything was okay, it's a planned surgery, and then it just became weird because...
Well, and we talked about this too. It's very likely that she didn't want to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Which is totally normally within the realm of her personal prerogative. But remember who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Someone who has signed up for an institution that doesn't allow personal privacy on that level or complete privacy.
Right.
So I bet there was like a, you know, maybe there was a battle going back and forth about what to do. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you have to believe that there were people in the palace pulling their hair out like, oh, my God. I mean, maybe even Will. Not that he had much left to pull out. that was like, we need to say something because now we all just look like we're intentionally like avoiding something.
Yeah. And the whole like photoshopped photo added to it.
And then they made her. OK, this is what I don't understand. The palace makes her release a statement saying that she photoshopped a photo amidst her chemotherapy.
I know. Like, you're throwing her under the bus.
Like, who is running the show?
Even if she did, you should say someone in the palace did a bad job with trying to touch things up. That's
it. Or just say, mind your own business. She's dealing with a family tragedy, right? Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was kind of like, why are you making her do this?
Because, you know, at some point we're all going to know. That's the whole thing. I get that it's going to take you a while to figure out how you're best going to tell people.
Yeah.
But if you know you're going to know, don't you tell people right away? Because then that stops people from doing. I mean, of course, they're going to continue to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. And there's going to be trolls. But it maybe wouldn't have gotten to the point where Jimmy Kimmel and, you know,
Stephen Colbert
and everybody is, you know, using it as a constant.
Because then we got into affairs. We got into involving
Rose Hanbury had to like make a statement about how she wasn't sleeping with Prince William. And
yeah. It's like, who knows if she ever did or whatever. But what are we dragging her into it? Because there wasn't enough information.
Yeah.
Like, I think what happened is they discovered this cancer. She needed to go through the chemo and she did not want to explain anything or say any. She probably was just like, give me a hot second and let me get through chemo before, and so that I'm well enough to make an appearance. And I'm thinking it was dictated by her, but
yeah. But the problem is, you know how this works, because we read Spare. Mm-hmm. She doesn't get to dictate anything.
That's true.
So I begin to ask questions like, who on Charles's team is like trying to screw up her?
It's Camilla's fault. It has to be. Camilla is the source of all bad in the palace.
I'm just saying, like, those are the questions I have, because you know how it works. We know that people, you know, their teams, like, I'm sure Kate's team was trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, it's what was King Charles' team saying about it? Because they're the ones in charge. He's the king.
Charles in charge, you know?
Oh, my God.
Of our days
somebody
and our nights.
Used that theme song yet?
I don't know,
when
but
he
I
walks
think
into a room.
Charles in charge of our days and our nights.
That was such a good
and
song.
And our wrongs and our rights.
Why'd he have to go and block me on Twitter?
Well, he's a troll.
He is.
He's yeah. Scott Baio is not the same Charles that we knew. Oh, well.
It's really sad. Anyway, I didn't even have time to get to Uncle Butthole.
Uncle Butthole.
Did you know Kate Middleton has an Uncle Butthole?
Everybody has an Uncle Butthole.
Everybody does at some point in their lives. But Uncle Gary, apparently, this is the guy. Remember I told you about him on Big Brother?
Yeah, that's we listened to a clip of him like spilling tea.
Yeah, he was like, well, I can't really tell you. But he didn't know, which is why
no.
He wasn't telling anything, because they don't tell Uncle Gary anything.
No.
I don't know what Uncle Gary did, but he is not on team Middleton?
No, he's an outsider.
Although
he's the black sheep for sure.
In an interview, he did go after Meghan Markle.
Why?
And in the article, he calls her, in this article I read, he calls her like the laughing girl. That's like his nickname for her. Does that make sense?
Maybe she smiles and laughs a lot because she's American, and then they think that's odd.
But he basically said, about her. He said, my thoughts and prayers are with Kate and the family at this difficult time, blah, blah, blah. Oh, he was trying to walk back his comments and said that he didn't know when he did this interview what was going on, which just tells you everything you need to know. And he called Meghan Markle in that interview fickle, bad for our country.
Jeez.
And
maybe, you know, Uncle Gary's bad for their country.
I mean, I
sounds
feel
like it.
Uncle Gary sounds like a hot mess. Uncle Butthole, excuse me.
Uncle Butthole Gary.
All right, so that's that update. Oh, and then they, of course, and you pointed this out, 5 seconds after they tell us what's going on with Kate Middleton,
yeah,
the tabloids are like, well, Harry and Meghan caused it.
Harry and Meghan went to an event the night before the announcement. Okay, but I doubt if they told them.
Meghan Markle actually, at the time that Meghan Markle made her announcement, was in the bathroom taking a huge rest stop. You know, they just will take anything people do and turn it into like, it must be the worst.
Yeah. Look at how they suck. Like, it's anything you talk about, they bring it. And then it wasn't Harry and Meghan. Then the titles of the tabloids just said Meghan was at an event the night before. It's saying like they knew and they didn't care and they just went out.
They didn't know nothing.
They don't tell them anything.
They do not tell them anything because there is... Because you just know, Kate was like, I ain't telling them nothing.
No.
That lady asked about my hormones once. I ain't telling her about my cancer.
That's right.
So Meghan has nothing to do with it. So stop it. All right. When we come back, what's for dinner tonight? What are you eating for dinner?
Probably the same soup I ate for lunch.
Oh, yeah. You'll have to tell us again about your soup. Well, my talkers, do you have a quick Instant Pot recipe for dinner? Share it with us, would you? 651-641-1071. We're talking quick Instant Pot meals when we come back. I promise there's a story there right here on My Talkers. Hey, My Talkers. Bradley here for my friends at your boat club. Look outside. Where do you want to be right now? Well, you're probably not thinking outside. You want to be somewhere warm and on the water. Well, that's this summer, and I can't think of a better way to be on the water than with my friends at your boat club. It's true. They really do make it the easiest way to get on the water with friends and family this summer. They take care of all the work. You just show up, have lots of fun. That was our experience last year. We loved it so much, we signed up again this year. Now, here's the thing. This right now is the best time of year to save on unlimited boating this season. Preseason enrollment is open at your boat club, so head to yourboatclub.com. Now, the reason that it's ideal is because your boat club carefully limits the number of members that they have to ensure all members are going to have great boat availability. So you don't want to miss this opportunity to get the best savings of the year to get on the water with me. Head to yourboatclub.com.
What are you eating for dinner tonight? Bradley wants to know what your quickest,
so
easiest...
The way you say it. I want to know.
Bradley wants to know what you're putting in your Instant Pot that's super easy and quick. Do you have a recipe to share? 651-641-1071. Simple ones. Don't give us 18 ingredients.
Yeah. No, oh my God. You can give us as many agreements. Agreements? Agreements? Did I just get dumb during the break?
Yeah.
Ingredients? How many ingredients we got in there?
Just if you're going to do that, please email us the recipe.
Yeah, no. Send us the recipe if you want. Give us a jingle, jangle, jingle. The reason I'm asking is because, well, I'm going to be on Twin Cities Live today talking about Instant Pot recipes.
And you don't have any idea what you're going to say, so you're trying to steal from the listeners.
Basically, not really.
Okay.
I have a recipe I'm going to do, but it did get me on the topic because... Okay, so Twin Cities Live does a segment on Mondays called Monday Night Meals, and it's like, you know, quick and easy or something, you know, relatively straightforward to do. And my recipe is from the Instant Pot because, let's be clear, when it comes to easy, I feel like the Instant Pot is a huge time saver. And so I'm always evangelizing for the Instant Pot when I can. Plus, it really is one of the recipes I use on a regular basis. If I've forgotten to, like, make dinner, I'm like, I know I can make, for example, tonight, chicken curry in a minute.
And that's what you're going to do on the show?
We're going to make like a coconut chicken curry.
Oh, yes, please.
All it takes, you have to have curry paste and a can of coconut milk and then some chicken and vegetables. Otherwise, you're golden. It's really that easy.
What about the release of the air?
Release about the air? It's not going to give you gas.
You know, no, not that, but...
I don't know what release of air you're talking about.
I am intimidated by our Instant Pot. We have a foodie that's an air fryer / Instant Pot, and you have to put on a different lid. And then every recipe I read is like, then release the valve.
It does seem a little complex until you're used to what, because all that's happening, it's a pressure cooker. Pressure cookers have been around for 100 years.
Yeah.
The Instant Pot just, wow, you seem... Are you okay? Why are you holding your stomach?
My belly hurts from my soup, I think.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go on.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah. At least for the next 5 minutes. Right,
do you have some air release that you need?
I don't know.
Do you need
to
take a walk down the hall? Because you ain't doing it in here. No, so it's so easy. So literally, for example, the chicken curry that I'm going to do, you saute a bunch of stuff if you want. I mean, I would suggest because you don't want onions that are like too
mushy.
Too hard. You want to saute them a little bit because it's only going to take 7 minutes in the Instant Pot.
What?
Yeah. 7 minutes. Now that takes time to get to pressure. So it'll take, you know, probably 10 minutes to get to pressure.
Yeah.
Then 7 minutes and then you let it release naturally for 10 minutes.
Oh.
And then you, that's when, and then after 10 minutes, you flip that little thing and it'll go. And then you open the lid.
Like a cat that's afraid of people.
Have you ever used your Instant Pot?
One time.
You literally have used it once.
And it was for a mac and cheese recipe that came with the Ninja Foodie.
And how did it turn out?
It was good, but then we tried to do it again and it was awful.
Yeah.
And we don't know what we did wrong.
I don't do pasta that scares me because I feel like it's just going to turn out super mushy.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, like you can make ribs in 8 minutes.
Yeah.
I think I might have made that up. I don't know if it's 8 minutes, but it's ribs. You can make them real fast.
Yeah. I don't even know. The other day I thought I might put the Instant Pot lid on and try to do an Instant Pot. We have to change the lid out because it's the air fryer lid that's on there now.
Yeah, yeah.
The foodies have like, and the Instant Pot lid.
So you're just afraid of using it.
I am afraid because I read recipes and when you release the pressure and it seems more complicated.
It's really not though. Once you realize that the pressure release is just like, do you want the food now?
Yeah.
So you have to release the pressure to open the thing.
Uh-huh.
But sometimes you just want it to, cause it'll keep cooking. Like when, you know, when it's done, the timer goes off, it's still, you know, burbling around. And so it'll just naturally cool off and then the pressure will naturally release.
My sister Dana makes the most amazing yogurt I've ever had in my life.
Yeah, you can make yogurt.
It's so good.
I've never done that. That's like some next level stuff.
Well, yeah.
But you can make rice. You can make beans. I'll make beans from dried in 1 hour.
Wow.
Like you can make
a
stew.
That's unbelievable.
In 1 hour.
Oh.
Apparently nobody has a recipe. I will say you can, like, you want to make a whole ass turkey roast, turkey breast.
Yeah.
You can cook that in 1 hour. You know, like a whole big turkey breast and then shred the turkey. And then if you want to use it for tacos or anything.
Now, in the oven, I can also bake a chicken breast.
Not
in 1 hour.
Not a turkey breast.
From frozen.
Oh, chicken breast, honey. A turkey breast is like 8 pounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, a chicken breast, again, 7 minutes.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Even if it's frozen?
If it were frozen, I might do like 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah, you don't do frozen meats, do you?
What?
You don't buy frozen meats,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Okay. Why wouldn't I buy frozen meat?
I thought maybe it's too pedestrian for you.
What? I have a freezer full of food, girl.
Okay. Yeah, I thought maybe you were going to a farm and
slaughtering my animals.
I don't know. You're so organic and so fancy.
You're so fancy. You didn't use a freezer.
Well.
No, I got all sorts of frozen meat in my freezer.
Okay. Yeah.
And I have done a whole turkey breast. Now, that'll take like 90 minutes, but a solid like 6 to 8 pound turkey breast.
Oh, I don't think my Ninja Foodie can hold that much because it's like a six quart.
Yeah, mine's
like
an 8 quart. But you could still do a turkey breast.
Okay.
Yeah, I bet you could. Or, I mean, you could do like a pork shoulder, but you don't have to overcomplicate it. You could do chili. I mean, soup.
Okay.
You like soup.
I could do what I'm doing on the stove in an Instant Pot.
Yeah, like what was the soup that you made the other
chicken
day?
Chicken and rice. The last one was a Thai coconut curry shrimp.
Yeah, I bet you could make that in the Instant Pot real quick. Mike, you guys don't have an Instant Pot, do you?
We do not, no. Did at one point, didn't use it enough.
I bet
what did you do
on.
With it? Did you toss it out the window into the river?
We moved
into the river?
No, we didn't throw it into the river. We gave it to somebody who would use it.
your soup situation has really affected your
That's what we say
state.
In my house whenever we don't like something. If it's like breaking, the computer's awful. We're like, we're throwing this in the river. We don't actually throw it in the river.
What did you say you made in it? Nothing?
Nothing much. We didn't really use it
Which
much.
Which is why you sold it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, great. Thanks for all the suggestions.
Today you'll be on Twin Cities Live.
But today, this afternoon, I'm going to be on Twin Cities Live.
Yeah.
So there.
What time?
4 p.m.
That's great.
So tune in, turn on. When we come back on The Adventures of Bradley and Dawn, we're going to talk about this. Dawn's solar eclipse cosmic.